Welcome to the Legacy Homeschool Reflections Podcast. My name is Ruth Adams, and I am delighted that you are here today. For those of you who may be new, I am a homeschool graduate from the pioneering homeschooling days of the movement, and now I am all grown up and the homeschooling mother to seven. My husband Matt and I have successfully graduated the oldest of our seven children and are still very much in the thick of home educating the rest of our clan. I love having the privilege of coming on the podcast each week and sharing encouragement with you from what the Lord is teaching me in my own journey. I also love to hear from those of you who are listening, so please take a moment to connect with me through Facebook at Legacy Homeschool Reflections, my blog, legacyhomeschoolreflections.com, and as always, I so appreciate each review and star rating on Amazon. I am encouraged by your reviews, and it encourages me that the reviews make the podcast more visible to other mamas. Over the past weeks, we have been working our way through a short series going over Colossians 2:6 through 7. Those two verses say, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude." Each week, I have encouraged you to either memorize or meditate on these two verses, and I hope that the depth and richness of these verses is growing deeper in our hearts and lives. So far, we have talked about how the Lord saves us and wants us to grow up in our faith. Specifically, we have discussed marks of walking with Christ, about being rooted and built up in him, and today we are going to be talking about being established in our faith. I think an important element of being established in our faith is knowing what we believe and how to defend it. And to help me talk on this topic, my husband Matt is joining me for our discussion today. Now, Matt is no stranger to the podcast, and it is always fun to record with my best friend in the whole world. I am very blessed because Matt takes an active role in the home education process around our home. He takes the biblical calling to lead our family seriously, and it is his desire to encourage other dads to do the same. Matt recognizes that a lot of dads did not have an example in their own families as how to shepherd their family spiritually. And so he wrote a short read to encourage ordinary dads that they truly can disciple their children for Christ and come alongside and support their wives in the homeschooling journey. The book is called Ordinary Homeschool Dad and is available through Amazon, the Family Renewal Bookstore, and Sony Elise Books. Besides encouraging fathers to love their wives and children and lead their families biblically, Matt has a passion for all things theology, biblical apologetics, and knowing how to defend the faith. When I told him that I was planning this episode on being established in the faith, he got excited and offered to join me for this important discussion. So welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thank you, sweetheart, and thank you for those kind words. I'm really excited to be here again today and to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that's equipping your children to defend the faith.
Yes, it's such an important subject, and so I'm thrilled that you can be here. Thinking about your book, and specifically chapter 5 of your book, makes a strong case for teaching our children biblical apologetics. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet to make that defense with gentleness and respect." So this verse tells us that we need to be prepared to make a defense to anyone who would ask us for a reason for the hope that is in us, and yet we need to do it with gentleness and respect. I think in this day and age that we find ourselves raising our children in, it is so important to equip them to know what they believe, why they believe it, and how to defend it. And Ken Ham expressed this in his book, Already Gone. He said, Quote, unless the facts behind the Christian faith are clearly and convincingly communicated in a way that students can learn and remember, their faith will not stand the assault of doubt from the world. It's not enough to just tell the students believe in Jesus. Faith that is not founded on fact will ultimately falter in the storm of secularism that our students face every day, end quote.
Yeah, I really appreciate Ken Ham's book. He's addressing those statistics that we've been hearing about for a number of years, that children raised in evangelical church-going homes are walking away from the faith at a rate of around 70 to 90%, depending on the study. And, you know, we see those kind of things and we can feel a bit of panic for our own children and, you know, wonder, is there any hope for them? But we don't need to do that. We do have hope. You know, we have a great God and Savior in Jesus Christ. And if He has truly saved your children, though they may stumble, they may have issues, however, they will not, as the confessions, the great confessions say, they will not completely and fully finally fall away. But we do need to be preparing them to address the onslaught of anti-Christian propaganda that they are bound to be faced with. It is
absolutely
everywhere.
And I think something else on the rise is just seeing even Christian leaders apostatizing mm-hmm. from the faith. I'm talking about ministry leaders who were teaching from God's word and now turning and denying Christ and denying His deity and denying His word. And so as parents, all of this certainly is something that you and I talk about frequently and pray about. And this trajectory is concerning.
Yeah. You know, the thing in Ken Ham's book that he pointed out that's really important is that the studies found that by junior high, these children were already gone. That's his point. And then it had a lot to do with the fact that the hard questions that are often thrown at Christianity are never answered. They often, if they're in public school, they're taught Darwinian evolution as science, and then they'll go to church and hear Bible stories, you know. And, you know, this world has an agenda. The public school system has an agenda, and that is not to have children be rooted and grounded in their faith. It's to drive them away from their faith.
And I think when you're saying Bible stories there, you're meaning to them it can maybe seem like fairy tales or something.
Yeah, they see a Noah's Ark with little cartoon characters, mm-hmm. you know. But this world wants to put doubts in their minds about the existence of God, forgiveness of sin, that we even need to be forgiven, you know, that there is no such thing, whatever's right for you is whatever, you know, is good, right? So what I want to do as a dad, and what I encourage other homeschool dads to do, is to take those hard questions head on. Don't be afraid of them. You know, there are good answers out there if we take the time to read and prepare. You know, things like trusting that we have the true inerrant word of God, or defending church history, you know, the long line of Christians throughout history defending what they've taught. So one thing I did in my book is give a lot of resources that dads can go to help equip them, you know, because there's a lot of great stuff out there. We just have to go out and find it.
Yes, and that's great because that saves the dad's time, you know, having to hunt all this stuff down when you've laid those resources out for them in the book. And so far we have established that there is a great need for teaching our children biblical apologetics and good sound theology. But I think that can sound like a very daunting task to many parents. So in your book, you break this down to really focusing on three main important areas that you encourage parents to focus on in teaching their children. So could you just kind of break that down,
sure.
What it is that you shared in the book?
Yeah, there are three items that, when I just look at the culture, I see as big ticket items that the secular culture wants to put doubts in our heads. And the first, as I mentioned, is the Word of God. We need to give our children a strong foundation that we can trust the Word of God. We can be extremely confident that we know what the authors originally wrote. You know, there's something like 5,800 ancient manuscripts, and we're able to determine, you know, what was originally written by examining all these. And we can also be confident that we have the right books in the Bible. You know, that ties a little bit to church history, but there's a lot of great information on defending the books we have in the Bible, which books should not be in there, for one thing, that we have the right books in there. You may remember a while back, Dan Brown had this big book and movie called The Da Vinci Code, and that spread a lot of false information about the Bible. And it talked about what he called the lost books, the so-called lost books of the Bible. So we can look at those, and those lost books, they're like the Gospel of Thomas and all these weird ones. We can look at those and really quickly realize that they were never part of the Bible and they shouldn't be. But sadly, we don't often hear about these kind of things in church or areas we normally are hearing the gospel preached. But your kids are going to hear about them. And, you know, either from the internet or friends, or if they go off to college, they're going to hear this stuff. So we need to be able, they need to be able to look back and say, yeah, well, my dad told me about these things and already have good answers. So being able to defend the Bible, the second is church history, like I was mentioning. Again, there's a lot of false information about church history. You know, making claims that the church did not always believe that Jesus was God until the Council of Nicaea, that's just completely false. You know, when I hear that, I like to just ask, well, have you read the Nicene documents? And usually nobody has, right? So, and if they say no, we'll say, have you read Irenaeus or Ignatius or any of these other guys who wrote in the first, second, third century way back? Who clearly defended Christ, were defending against like the Gnostics and the Sabellians who did not believe in the Trinity. So, you know, the gospel and the true word of God has been defended going way back, and there are men that wrote. And so we can go to those sources and defend, you know, that we have the true word of God, and we have that the Bible, that history tells us agrees with the Word of God. So
that's neat to see all of those connections.
Right. I find it fascinating, and I love talking about it and teaching it to my children. But the last one is, of course, teaching creation versus evolution. There's a lot of great resources from Answers in Genesis and ICR and other places. And that's what actually first got me excited about apologetics when I was a young man, was to see that there are answers to the questions evolutionists pose. And in fact, many times they are being inconsistent or just flat out spreading false information. That's been demonstrated over and over. There's a lot of great work today being done in genetics, which is really neat to look into some of that stuff, really powerful. And so you can give some of those kind of resources to your children to read, but as dads need to be reading it as well and then talking about these things.
And I know in our home, a lot of times it's just you're communicating these things in short conversations with the children. It's not always like we need to have this lengthy, you know, subject called apologetics. You're just discussing these things.
It's
like,
the Deuteronomy 6.
I heard this wonderful thing today, and just sharing bits of time.
It's a Deuteronomy 6 kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
But Ken Ham says that if you can't believe the Bible in Genesis 1:1, why would you believe the Bible in John 3:16?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that kind of goes back to, you know, defending Scripture again.
Well, I think after this discussion, many listeners may be motivated to want to focus on equipping their families with a strong biblical apologetics and to help their children to navigate the culture that is so hostile to the Word of God. And that motivation is great. And you've pointed out three important areas to focus on, but Now I wonder if we can talk about some practical how-tos. I know for me that I really focus on teaching a biblical worldview to our children during our morning circle time, where we talk about the gospel, about culture, about growing in Christ, about building godly character, and much more. And when we do our science and history read-alouds, I'm really trying to bring out a Christian worldview and apologetic. What are some practical ways that you as a dad who goes to work every day have found to equip our children in a biblical theology, a Christian worldview, and apologetics?
Well, the thing I can't stress enough is that we are equipping ourselves as men. And we can do that through reading, even if it's just a few minutes at night, but reading good books that teach us apologetics. But also, if you're driving a long way, just listening to podcasts. There's some great podcasts out there that you can listen to that just really equipped you with great, great information. So you can answer those tough questions when you're hit with them. But more than that, like I said, you know, we need to treat it as a Deuteronomy 6 issue, to be explaining these things to our children when we rise up and sit down and walk along the way. But another one is also having a consistent family worship where you're reading through the Bible. As I go through the Bible with the children, you know, we just read straight through over and over. You'll get to points where there may be a textual variant or something, and you can go in and explain that and explain how we can know what was originally written there. Or look at how, you know, somebody in church history used it. But it just as you're going through reading the Bible, these kind of things come up and are great times to talk about those things with your children. Sometimes I get some pushback there saying, well, aren't you going to teach your children to doubt the Word of God? But the reality is they're likely going to face these kind of questions in the future. And where would you rather have them face it? With a father who loves them and can help them to defend the Word of God, or some radical atheist who hates God and wants to turn them away from their faith? So, you know, if you've never heard some of these things, you get hit with a bunch of stuff about textual variants in the Bible, and it can be overwhelming and scare you. But if you have looked at the research and know that we can be extremely confident that we have the Word of God, and teach those things to your kids, then it, you know, it won't bother them. They'll hit it and, you know, be like, yeah, I've heard that before, and here's why I can trust the Bible.
Yeah, when I think about it, there's a lot of areas in life that we prepare our children for facing the world, right? We prepare them on how to maybe deal with bullies who might bully them, or we prepare them how to deal with something like navigating an airport or a bus system, and we prepare them ahead of time for these things. And I think what you're saying here is this is something they're going to face in the current times we're living in. So we have to prepare them, just as we wouldn't send a child alone into an airport without preparation.
Right.
We have to prepare them ahead of time.
Right. And as a dad, if you're constantly feeding yourself, then it's just going to naturally show up in your conversations with your children. You know, you may be driving down the road with the kids and you remember something and you start telling them and talking to them about it. Or, you know, if you're working outside together with your children or working in the house or wherever, just having conversations about these kind of things can be really interesting. We love to go camping. And so, you know, just sitting around a campfire is a great time to be talking about, you know, looking up at the heavens and the heavens declare the glory of God, and talking about God's creation. It's just a great time. You know, I remember something funny. Our oldest, when she was probably about 12 years old, we were taking a tour through a cave, and the lady that was guiding us through the cave, she was talking about how these stalactites and stalagmites were, you know, millions of years old or hundreds of thousands, whatever. And Lauren just pops up and she says, well, have you heard about Coke bottles that were left in a cave and a complete stalagmite formed over it? And she was demonstrating that these things can actually form a lot quicker than what they're saying. And that lady didn't want to have anything to do with that conversation. She moved on quickly. But I just sat back and watched. But Lauren had listened to so many different resources that we mm-hmm. given her to listen to.
You were a proud father at that moment. Yeah,
I was. That was pretty fun.
Yes.
But, and again, just putting resources into the hands of your children, whether it's things they can listen to at bed at night or books they can read, there's a lot of great stuff out there. And as they get older, you may point them to podcasts that I may be listening to and have the kids. I know our older ones have listened to a long series on church history that's just really fascinating and equips them. But yeah, there's a lot of resources out there to put in the hands of your kids.
Great. Well, we've been doing this series on Colossians 2, 6 through 7, and in verse 7, it talks about being established in the faith, and I think that's what we're talking about here. We want to help our children to be established in the faith by knowing what they believe and why, and it is never enough for them to piggyback on the faith of their parents. That will never produce a righteous life in Christ Jesus. When kids grow up just piggybacking on the faith of their parents, they have to know these things and embrace these things right. and experience these things for themselves. Yeah. And if they are to stand and be established in Christ, they are going to have to know Christ personally and just be established in Him for themselves.
Yes, and like I said in the beginning, if Christ has truly saved them, you know, their faith will persevere. And, you know, the exciting thing is that when you see your children become equipped, they want to share that. They want to share the love of Christ, and they want to be gospel-centered and, you know, share with their friends or share. It makes them want to be out there sharing their faith and presenting the gospel to people and sharing the love of Christ. And so the more information they have, the more confident they are to do that. So that's a blessing.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate the things that you have shared with us today. These things are just so vitally important, and I respect your desire to study, to show yourself approved, and your passion for passing these things on to our children. And I believe what you have shared has been really helpful to the listeners, and it is always just a joy to have you sitting behind the microphone here with me.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. I hope this is helpful. And maybe your listeners could share this with their husbands. And, you know, if dads are struggling finding good resources, I would love to point them to some. They can look me up on Facebook or Twitter or ordinaryhomeschooldad.com, and I'd be happy to point them to some things. And again, I give a long list in my book, so that's one place you can go. But if somebody has some specific questions, I'd be happy for them to reach out to me and talk about it.
That's great. Well, ladies, thank you for joining us for this discussion today. Next week, we will wrap up this 5-part series by talking about cultivating gratitude and thanksgiving. I encourage you to continue to think on Colossians 2, 6 through 7 as you go through the next week. And I hope you will join me again for the 5th episode in this series next week. Until then, may the Lord continue to establish our families in the truth of His eternal word. Goodbye for now.